Spillwords.com presents Milo's Safe, written by Maria Lorenzana. Dot, fight, 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 shouted the gathered grade schoolers. Like Roman citizens at the Colosseum, some yelled from the monkey bars, some from the metal slide, while Milo Howard sat atop a scrawny kid resting a small metal Dutch Master cigar box out of his hands. Tomas, our young hero, hung on for dear life, but his 75-pound body was useless under Milo's 120 pounds of pubescent baby fat. Milo, who should have been in 8th grade but was either too stupid or too lazy to care, was repeating the 6th grade, again. And he was angry about it. Though, in true bully form, due to the reasons stated before, he was unaware of the origin of his anger. All he knew was he delighted in torturing his schoolmates. Mostly, he delighted in torturing Tomas. Kevin and Joe, Tomas' best friends, equally sized, wanted to help but were too scared to make a move. Tomas, in desperation, forced his hips up, throwing Milo off balance long enough to scoot back from under him. But just as he was getting to his feet, Milo, surprisingly spry for his mass, caught him by the wrist. Tomas yelped but no one heard, as his face smashed into Milo's onion-scented left pit. Unable to breathe, Tomas could no longer hold on and Milo ripped the box out of his hand. What have we here, dork? Milo oinked, pushing Tomas to the ground. Give it back, Tomas pressed in a tremulous voice, getting back up. Or what? He growled as he opened the box with his meaty paws. Baseball cards? Seriously? He was about to toss the lot back to Tomas when Joe piped up. They're very special baseball cards, but you wouldn't know that cause. Milo snapped the box shut. Cause what? He asked, charging toward Joe. Cause nothing, Joe whimpered. What the hell is this? A low, hoarse voice demanded from the edge of the circle. Milo rolled his cold blue eyes, and without turning, Sophia, the red-headed stepchild. Your boyfriend here just gave up his very special cards and there is nothing you can do about it. Give them back, she ordered, stepping closer while looking at Tomas, who was preparing to square against Milo once again. Or what? Milo countered. Turning on Sophia, you think I won't hit you cause you're a girl? I have a sister, you know. Murmurs in the crowd, everyone was confused. What does that mean? Yeah, and I have a brother. She retorted, looking up at him and not giving an inch. What's your point? Milo looked confused, he too had lost the thread. Whatever, I'm keeping these, he said as he stomped away, pushing a couple of fourth graders out of his way. The crowd, excitement over, began to break up as Kevin and Joe sheepishly approached their friends. Sophia turned to Tomas, are you okay? Yeah, fine. Tomas grumbled, dusting himself off and checking out the cuts on his elbows. Why didn't you help him? She demanded from Tomas' so-called best friends. Kevin looked down at his dirty Converse. Joe played with the pocket knife he kept safely ensconced in the front pocket of his green corduroys. Neither made eye contact. Nothing? Look, even if Joe and I tried, Milo would just slap us off like annoying gnats. So, you let Tomas go it alone? Nice. The argument quickly escalated until. Stop, Tomas yelled. Just stop. They all turned to him. I had to get those cards back and this isn't helping. Can't you just buy new ones? The three boys looked incredulously at Sophia. Kevin, exasperated, Jesus, you know nothing. You had to buy the gum to get the cards. Joe explained. Okay, buy the gum. It's not that easy, Tomas said, sadness tinging his voice. One of the cards is a 52 Willie Mays that my grandpa gave me. I was going to give it to my dad to sell. It's worth a lot of money. Oh, how much? Asked Sophia. Enough. Enough for what? Enough to help my family, all right? Tomas snapped, picking up his school bag as he walked away. Wait, Tomas, how? Joe pulled her back, let him go. Asterisk, asterisk, asterisk. That night, Tomas attempted to do his English homework but couldn't focus. He slammed his textbook shut and began gnawing on his pencil. A habit that his dad always got on him about. Just then a knock at his door. Yeah? Mr. Silva, Tomas' father, opened the door. Yeah? Is that how you answer? No, sorry dad, I was distracted. Everything all right? Yeah, I mean, yes. Mr. Silva furrowed a thick brow, dinner in 30. Mom's working late, so it's just us. I'll be right down. His father arched an eyebrow. You're on dishes tonight. Okay. As soon as Mr. Silva closed the door, Kevin, Joe, and Sophia climbed through the window. What are you doing? Tomas' whisper yelled at them. I thought he would never leave. Kevin whispered, yelled back, and plopped himself on Tomas's bed. I have to go downstairs. What are you doing here? Sophia has a plan to get the cards back. Joe offered. A plan? Look, the guys explained about your dad. Tomas' face went beet red. He was angry, but more than anything, he was embarrassed. Sophia wasn't supposed to find out about this. He turned and looked out the window. His father was out there taking out the trash. He remembered a night, weeks earlier, when his mother caught his father, in the same spot, sneaking a cigarette. She was angry at first. You said you quit. Oh, He tried hiding it. You what? She asked, taking the cigarette. From his window, Tomas watched. I got laid off. His father admitted, shoulders slumped, head hanging in shame. The plant is closing. I've been looking, but there's nothing out there. Everyone's getting laid off. I don't know what to do. Shit. She responded, taking a long drag off the cigarette. I'll see about picking up more shifts at the diner. Then, exhaling, but that will only keep us going for a bit. We'll have to figure something out. His father put his arm around her and whispered something, taking the cigarette back. She smiled and rested her head on his shoulder. As they passed the cigarette back and forth, their faces grew concerned. Tomas was devastated. Seeing his parents so worried scared him more than he'd ever been. His father was a good man, a good husband, a good dad. He'd just drawn a bad hand. Over the weeks that followed, Thomas saw his father trying to remain positive. While his mom worked double shifts, he made sure Tomas got to school on time, packed lunches, did the laundry, the shopping, even began experimenting with new recipes, not all winners. Tomas? Sophia had been saying something, but he'd missed it. Yeah, will you let us help? Tomas turned to face his friends, letting go of his shame, ready to do anything for his family. What's the plan? The next morning at school, they watched Milo collect a toll from a couple of geeky sixth graders who quickly emptied out their pockets and ran off. Milo chuckled to himself, suckers. He opened his locker and put his new loot away. Not bothering to grab any books, he slammed the door shut and headed off. Down the hall, Sophia held a finger up as she watched Milo turn the corner. Go. Kevin and Tomas took their posts at opposite ends of the hallway as lookouts. When they gave the all clear, Sophia and Joe skulked to Milo's locker. Joe pulled out a leather pouch from his back pocket, selected one of the serrated edge tools, inserted it into the keyhole, wiggled it up and down a few times, pulled up on the latch, and the locker popped open. Joe, you scare me sometimes. Joe blushed and smiled. Inside they found empty food wrappers, several Pez dispensers, a yo-yo, a floater Popeye pen, some Hot Wheels, several pieces of hot tamales, a broken Walkman, and Tomas' box. Sophia pulled it out and walked it over to Tomas. He opened it. Shit. It's empty. His friends were at a loss. They're in his room. A soft, clear voice floated from behind them. Milo's little sister stood in the hallway. She was a much smaller version of him, but with long hair and kind eyes. He has a safe in his closet. Our grandmother left it to him. Guess he liked playing with it or something. She said, casually. He keeps important things there. Sally, Sophia began. Why are you telling us this? Because he's a jerk. Can you help us get to the safe? Joe asked. Sure. Kevin, not buying her act, what do you want in return? Nothing. I don't believe you. You may not, Kevin Barnes, but he does. She pointed at Tomas, and that is all that matters. I believe you, said Tomas, but why do you want to help me? Like I said, he's a jerk. They all nodded in agreement. And he broke the elevator in my Barbie dream house. He has to pay for that. What better way than to side with his nemesis? I'm his nemesis? Tomas looked incredulous. Does she even know what the word means? Kevin mumbled under his breath. You sure are. And yes, I know what it means, Kevin. Do you? Tomas was surprised to hear this. Really? He has been picking fights with you since the third grade, said Sophia. Makes sense, I guess. Look, you're wasting time. Sally pushed, this needs to happen. Can you be ready tonight? Tomas looked to his friends, can we? Yes, Joe responded, we can be ready tonight, but I have questions. Tomas rushed through dinner that evening. Hey kid, slow down. Are you chewing? Sorry, dad, loads of homework tonight. May I be excused? He asked, taking his plate to the kitchen. Sure. Big assignment? Yes, something like that. He said as he ran up to his room. Dot. Half an hour later, Tomas, Sophia, Kevin, and Joe crouched behind a bush across the street from Milo's house. A nice, generic, suburban house one might find in any nice, generic, suburb in the Midwest. They all wore dark clothes and knit caps. The effect was more hodgepodge than cat burglar, but it would have to do. They watched and waited, their bikes hidden behind some trash cans. Kevin, fidgeting, are we sure she's not setting us up? Again, with this? Sophia asked, exasperated. We can't trust her. What if? Shush. Tomas hushed them. There's the signal. The lights in an upstairs window flicked on and off three times. Moments later, Milo, Sally, and their parents walked out their front door and into a brand new blue Plymouth Reliant. Their dad carefully backed out of the driveway, turned onto the street, and slowly drove away. They watched the car turn the corner and then huddled together. Sally said we would have 90 minutes, Tomas instructed. Check your watches. We'll meet back here when it's done. 90 minutes. They ran, as a unit, across to the street. Tomas, Joe, and Sophia through the side yard to the back door. Kevin to the end of the block. He positioned himself behind some parked cars where he had a perfect view of the tree-lined street. He spoke into his radio, I'm in position. Copy, Tomas' voice came through clearly. The other three tiptoed up to the back porch. The back door was unlocked. Just as Sally had promised. They tiptoed in. The house was dark but for a light in the kitchen and one in the front hallway. Sophia headed left. The boys kept moving forward through to the foyer and the stairs. As they began ascending the stairs, a loud crash came from the direction Sophia had taken. They looked at each other, debating. They waited. Suddenly, on the radio, all good, Badger is under control. Who's Badger? Kevin's voice hissed through the static. The cat. Sophia responded, adding no more details. Joe raised his radio, copy? He and Tomas waited a few beats. Nothing. They shrugged and proceeded up the stairs. There were three doors on the right and two on the left. Tomas checked his notes. His room is the last one on the right. He keeps the hallway door locked. He and Sally share a bathroom. We'll have to go through her room to access it. Then, pushing the first door on the right open, this must be hers. A nightlight glowed near the far end next to the open door to the Jack and Jill bathroom. As they approached, the light suddenly went out, leaving them in complete darkness. Through the radio, Sophia reported, power is out. Tomas copied. They flicked on their flashlights and kept moving through the bathroom. They opened the door to Milo's room, but a tall bookcase blocked the entrance. They tried moving it, but it wouldn't budge. They would have to go through the hallway door. Tomas banged a fist on the wall. This is going to eat up time we need for the safe. Don't worry, Tomas, I can do it. Joe said, hurrying back the way they came. Tomas took a deep breath and followed. Joe got to work on the lock on Milo's door. It wasn't difficult to pick. Tomas hoped for the same with the safe. Once inside, they made a beeline for the closet. It was open, the safe sat, casually, on the shelf. Surprising. Joe laid out his tools and began. The safe proved to be much more complicated than anything Joe had encountered before. The minutes ticked by. Joe wiped his forehead. Tomas held the flashlight and kept glancing at Joe. Stop looking at me, it isn't helping. On the radio, guys, what's going on? It's been 45 minutes. Kevin, be quiet. Joe needs to focus, responded Tomas, who was feeling the pressure. Another 15 minutes went by. Joe, shaking his head, I don't think I can do this, Tomas. I am sorry. No, Joe, you can do this. You're thinking too much. Close your eyes and follow your instincts. Trust yourself. Joe took a deep breath, closed his eyes. Three bolts, he felt them, but he couldn't get the right angle. He shifted his body a little to the right and then, suddenly, a click and it was open. They screamed in joy. Sophia on the radio, you guys okay? Yes, it's open. Joe answered. Tomas looked inside. Jars filled with quarters lined both shelves. Nothing else. They're not here. Hurry up, guys. Kevin with a time check. They'll be back soon. Yeah, okay. Joe radioed back. Tomas was desperate. They're not here. Where else could they be? Joe asked. Let's look around. They searched the rest of the room, dresser drawers, the nightstand, nothing. Tomas sat on the bed. Deflated. 2 minutes left, came Kevin's crackly voice. Sophia on the radio, we should call it. Joe looked at Tomas, who nodded in defeat. Joe was about to say something when firecrackers exploded outside. Kevin signaled the car was approaching the final turn. They needed to go. The room was a mess, but they had no time to fix it. As they rushed to the door, Joe saw them, in a plastic bag, on a shelf on the bookcase blocking the bathroom door. Tomas, look, holy shit. Tomas opened the bag. All 6 cards were there. Let's go. More firecrackers exploded, signaling the car's final approach. They had mere seconds. They ran down the stairs. They turned toward the kitchen as headlights lit the hallway. Joe slipped and tumbled toward Tomas but recovered. Panic in their eyes. Milo was back. They ran out the back door as they heard Mrs. Howard exclaim, "Power must be out." They crouched under the stairs, Sophia already there. They heard Mr. Howard say, "I'll check the fuse box." As they ran to their bikes and Kevin, the lights in the house came back on. They started to ride away when they heard Milo scream, "Mom! We've been burgled." The 4 broke into laughter and rode into the night. Please leave this field empty, never miss a story. Subscribe to our newsletter and get the latest literary buzz. We don't spam. Read our privacy policy for more info. Check your inbox or spam folder to confirm your subscription. About latest posts, Maria Lorenzana. Maria Lorenzana is a Guatemalan-born Chicagone currently residing in Santa Monica, CA. As an Emmy-nominated costume supervisor, she earns her ducats in the entertainment industry. The writing bug began several years into this career when she felt the unrelenting need to write a screenplay about her grandfather. That screenplay earned her a Best Short Screenplay award in 2016. Maria went on to write several feature screenplays. A desire to take advantage of the downtime during the pandemic to improve her skills led to the exploration of online creative writing courses. There she found a community of talented writers that encouraged her to develop her fiction writing, which is her focus these days. That is not to say that the screenplays are a thing of the past. Maria is a firm believer that all experiences come together at some point. Currently, she is working on 2 novels, a nonfiction piece, and several short stories. Latest posts by Maria Lorenzana. See all. Milo's Safe. December 29, 2024. Zibalba. October 24, 2023.